Being in order.
Well,
have to go in the other room and grab it, I guess. So we got minutes for correction or approval.
Good.
All right, we'll approve those. So move on to new business with ADM 2025-28 budget reports for July of 2025.
Okay, a couple things. Let's flip to page, well, it'll be page 10 of the packet, so revenues. On your sales tax, the $491,000 in the July column is for, I believe it's May consumer sales, if I remember correctly. It is up 21% year over year from 2024, which is great. For the calendar year, and again, we do everything by fiscal year, but I'm just going by calendar year because now we're 5 or 6 months into it. We're looking at like 7.5% year over year growth from 2024 calendar year, so things are still pretty strong on sales taxes. A lot of that is due to the reclassification of use taxes as sales taxes. So as of July 1st, some state level methodology just reclassified a lot of online purchases instead of it coming through as use tax as sales tax. So on average for the calendar year, we're beating our own internal estimates by about $35,000 a month in sales taxes, but use taxes are down in the last fiscal year, so not quite apples to apples calendar-wise, but two time frames you can kind of use as a ballpark, by about $24,000 a month. So we are still coming out ahead, theoretically, in that methodology switch, which is what IML had communicated and we expected. But you might notice that sales taxes are way up, and then use taxes are way down as a result of it. But still up ahead, so that's good. And then the August column, which is going to be next month, has already been released. So obviously we're doing this month by month here, so that's why it's not on there. That month was $523,000 for the regular sales. That was the highest month ever, so that represented June consumer sales. June and usually November or December are our highest months. Last year it was October, so online sales, online shopping for Christmas that early. Our window has shifted, so our two peak months are June and October, so for whatever that's worth. And then the only other thing I wanted to notice on the revenue side was building permits, which is on the same page there. You know, it is high so far this fiscal year. The unaudited figures that Rob has shared with me, which will be distributed next month in full when they're finalized, indicated we had a very strong year with building permits again, obviously. So Costco coming through, we've got, you know, townhouse developments and other things that add up, you know, in bulk to just building permit revenues. So that's been strong. And then just a reminder on those, we take the majority of those revenues and offset our community development and inspection expenses within the general fund. And then overages on that end up getting dumped into the citywide capital fund for general use for capital projects. So if anybody else has any questions about any of the other cases, otherwise it's all ahead.
Does anyone have any questions?
Nope.
All right, let's move on to item number two, ADM 2025-29, Treasurer's Report for July of 2025.
So we had year-to-date revenues of $16,656,806 and year-to-date expenses of $16,215,020. And the beginning and ending fund balances will appear next month, along with the unaudited financial statements that Bart alluded to earlier.
Questions?
Nope.
All right. And that's just an informational item, right?
So, yes.
All right, moving along. ADM 2025-30, cash statements for April 2025.
This is our fiscal year end cash and investment balances for fiscal year ending 2025. A little over $47 million in cash on the city side. And we had about a little over $25 million in U.S. Treasury bills. Most of that, the bond proceeds for the Public Works building. Those are just, I believe, I think they were 60-day T-bills, so they've already matured. But, yeah, that's our position at the end of fiscal year 2025.
Any questions, guys? ADM 2025-31, review of invoices between $5,000 and $25,000.
So these are invoices between $5,000 and $25,000 for the July 22nd and August 12th City Council meetings that you've already reviewed and approved. If anybody has any questions, be happy to answer them.
I have none.
Just on the hometown, so we just forwarded front some cash to them, and then does that...
On hometown days?
Yeah, I saw that there was one on here, so we just...
I think it's like a word.
There's a fair amount of prepaid expenditures that we have to do, deposits for the beer, all the bands have to be paid.
We just move that to them, and then once it comes...
And a lot of it, some of it gets coded or gets paid out prior to the fiscal year even starting, so then you have to basically book it one fiscal year and then move it later.
Correct, and I mean, I think you're referring to the starter cash, though.
Yes.
Yeah, basically the way that works is they take the first $10,000 of proceeds and they charge it to that expense, so it wipes it clean.
Okay.
And then the rest is revenue. Right. So yeah, we get that money back,
it's
and then some.
Balancing it.
Exactly.
They needed
exactly.
The front side.
Yep.
So the lottery about getting off image, that's just a one-time fee, or is that a monthly fee?
Oh, it's not a monthly fee. They bill us like the progress billing. So actually, we just got an invoice from them yesterday because they've actually completed field work, and now we're working on the audited financial statements.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a contractual price with them. It's around $30,000. So when it's all said and done,
so that's like a third of it. What they get?
Yeah, roughly. Yeah.
So we wanted to cut my.
Anything else, guys? All right. Move along to item number 5, ADM 2025-32, website report for July 2025.
I didn't have anything of note in either one of these. If you have any questions about it, let me know. But it seems to be pretty standard with traffic and then items of note with posts.
All right, moving along. Adam, or ADM 2025-33, ordinance authorizing the 6th amendment to the annual budget of the United City of Yorkville for fiscal year commencing on May 1st, 2024 and ending on April 30th, 2025, downtown TIF 2.
So I'm pleased to report that all the major operational funds for the city came in under budget for fiscal year 2025, as they typically do. However, we always have a couple of funds. In this case, we have one fund this year that was a little bit over budget, the downtown TIF 2 fund. The first budget amendment I recommend us doing is just showing the $900,000 for the FS property. So that's just a wash. You show $900,000 in expenditures. You show $900,000 in proceeds. No impact to fund balance. It's just something you have to do for GAAP. So it's more of just a paper entry. We did have some higher than anticipated rebate on the incremental property taxes for the old jail. We were budgeting around 16. Actually, that almost doubled, came in at around 28,000. And then we were a little bit over $9,800 in professional fees because of the comprehensive site plan investigation work that Terracon Consultants did in the downtown 2 TIF this year. The good news is, though, is that incremental property taxes and actually all the TIF funds, but particularly the downtown TIF 2 fund, increased by 48% over the prior year, which kind of makes sense as to why the rebate would be higher as well. So the reason I recommend amending this budget is just to avoid an audit comment. It's a simple fix, and it's something that we've historically done every year, probably for the past 10 years or more. So
we did budget for the FS purchase in TIF 1, so it ended up being in TIF 2, so that's another reason to just transfer that
moving
obligation.
Moving between the TIF, correct?
Yep.
For the $14,000, or yeah, $14,000 to $28,000 for the old jail, what generated that difference?
That would be that the property is worth way more than we had expected probably 5 or 6 years ago when we entered into the development agreement that would have just conservatively estimated, you know, whatever the taxes were there. So it's positive in general because that would be indicative of why the
48%
overall, it is up. So that one's included.
That's a good one. I'm glad that piece worked out, and it's
yeah.
A positive boon to the bottom line here. So we need a couple more of those.
It's a long chapter in our history.
Considering the purchase price. Right?
But good. So,
yeah, right?
Yeah.
I remember.
I was
on council, so 2012.
Yeah.
So.
Two times.
All right.
Just put this on the regular agenda. Just.
Yeah, because you need a super majority, so.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oops. Yeah, top says 699.
Brings us ADM 2025-34, Project Cost Summary Report Update, Lake Michigan Water Sourcing Project and Public Works and Parks Department Facility.
Okay, Rob's compiled the updated reports here for both projects. And this is something we do, is just kind of run a running tally of expenditures for the project. So, unfortunately, sometimes these don't dovetail quite nicely with, like, cost estimates that we would have done beforehand. Reason being, like an architect or an engineer, like for the public works facility, would basically categorize these expenditures and would use, you know, different names and titles and stuff. And then, you know, our own coding and tracking may not follow that categorization 100%. So I can't yet give you like the first communicated cost estimates and then say like, here's how these are different per se. But we're working on it. So with Lake Michigan one, we did communicate the 5-year capital improvement plan for Lake Michigan as early as spring of 23, when we did the fiscal year 24 budget proposal. And then that summer, we had started to communicate you know, full cost estimates for Lake Michigan. So I'm in the process of asking Brad to basically take that EEI estimate at the time, which would have been based on some early numbers from DWC and then updated to present day. That way we've got a good base of what's been communicated before, what's being communicated now, and then what will be communicated here in the next month whenever we figure out what's going on with, you know, the bid prices and everything else. So so it's not as clean as I want it to be, but you can get general ideas of kind of what's going on here. So my one caveat on the Lake Michigan that I want to just make sure is take a look at all these, and yeah, it adds up to $150 million of, you know, estimated total expenditures. Rob is updating these things as new estimates come in from VWC. So this would include estimates given to us as recently as March.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, so cash estimates, project estimates when they were going out to bid. So it wouldn't include anything like the past week or two that we've talked about publicly. So that isn't updated yet. Additionally, you know, we had a conversation, we've got all these water main replacements that we're doing, not only for just the general health of the water system, but then there's also the ones that IEPA or IDNR made us do as part of our Lake Michigan allocation permit. It basically said, you know, you needed to do 20-something million dollars worth of water main improvements for everything that was older than 1980 in general, and that we had to do that before we could connect to Lake Michigan. So we accelerated some of our water main schedule, you know, and so we were already planning on doing it like 2 or 3 years from now, and so we just moved it forward. But some of that was new, because it's like if Maine wasn't up for a schedule because it was built in, let's say, 1979 or something, wasn't causing an issue, you know, then, you know, that's a new expenditure basically that the IDNR made us do. None of that is reflected in here. So you can tack anywhere from zero to 20-something million dollars on top of this, and then make the statement that, like, you know, that's a indirect Lake Michigan cost and should be added here. So, you know, that could be 150, 170, some million dollars, depending on how you want to look at it.
That's mostly in the older parts of town, right? Because I know Greenbrier was bombed 2000. When was yours, Chris? Where you live?
2003, 2005.
Yeah.
So the other side was even.
So Raintree wasn't in, that was there. So this have to be sort of the older.
Yeah, anything constructed before 80.
Maybe Heartland was in place.
Yeah, but there are other ones that...
The top part, the first one?
No, that was like the late 90s.
Yeah, and there's other pieces that are just being done because they're either undersized or...
Correct.
...issues with them. So even though they may be newer, less than 20 years old.
Internal improvements are reflected in here. So things that we had identified ahead of time that was like a bottleneck, blue stem is an example, that is in here. So that cost is in here, but it wouldn't be anything like IDNR said, well, it's older than 1980, you just got to replace it. So so the update that I gave at the last meeting generally reflects on this dollar figure here, $114 million. That's like a very rough grab estimate of the entire construction engineering, right-of-way acquisition, and then pipe construction from Naperville up to here. And that represents our 40.22% of that project as of March 2025, according to estimates from DWC. So obviously, you know, the bid package that was put out that was 41 came in at 69 and is now down to about 48. You know, you can kind of do a rough calculation of where that is. So the numbers that I referenced in the meeting, going from 300 to 400 plus million dollars, was worst case scenarios, quick calculations by DWC staff and engineers, that if the bid prices from the first package were just extrapolated out to every other bid package, that's what the price would reflect, not taking any cost escalation into account, and then also not taking into account that the Book Road piece is in southern Naperville, high traffic area, a lot of utility conflicts, it's their most complex piece, whereas some of the later bid packages are going to be the south side of Yorkville going through a farm field, and the prices should be, I say should be, much less than what they saw here. So I'm somewhere between you know, communicating, hey, the project is definitely going to be over budget, and, you know, hey, this thing, you know, could be managed, you know, down the road depending on how these next bid prices come in. So our engineers, public works directors, talking for the region here, are going to be participating in not only the bid meetings for DuPage, but then also the bid review meetings. So they're going to be helping to generate the bid scopes that are going to be put out to bid, and then reviewing the packages as they come in. Not only just so that they've got, you know, hopefully completely accurate data and ideas, you know, from everybody on how to do things and hopefully keep costs down, but then we'll know more quickly after the bids come in, like where they came in at relative to those estimates. So, because the timeline basically from first notice to us that they were over to then like resolution of, you know, some of those numbers, it was like a 2-week period. So, you know, that happened the day of the city council meeting at like 2:30, and they were like, we finally crunched these, yes, they were bad, here's how bad they were in general, here's how it could look if this goes forward. And, you know, and they gave us all the details. They talked at length about the tunneling being way overpriced, and subcontractor issues that they faced with that, and that they basically cut out as much tunneling as they can, going to open cuts, which is going to cause some heartburn for Naperville, you know, vehicles and residents. Just a whole bunch of other things. I mean, they got into the detail of, like, they're going to move this manhole from over here to avoid this issue, and, you know, so they're in the weeds on it. So the effort is there. They talked at length, too, just about beating Joliet to the punch, which we still are ahead of them timing-wise. And Joliet is doing something slightly different with their contract, and they're doing much bigger bid packages. I think I mentioned this in the meeting. I think the average bid package in Joliet is going to be $200 to $300 million, and this is going to be $50-60 million at a time for DuPage. So we hoped that some of the mid-size and large guys would pick them up and give us a good price because they're, you know, less complex and hopefully more straightforward than a $200 or $300 million project down in Joliet. But that wasn't the case for the first bid package, obviously. So that's everything I know here so far. Questions about any of that?
So that number that you just were talking about,
yep,
that takes care, that takes us to Book Road and all the way east, right, with the upgrades that they have to do to supply the water?
Yes.
So that's all factored into that number?
Well, that's a number from...
Are you getting any other numbers?
I have not got any. That's from a DWC cash flow sheet that I got on construction from March.
Right.
So you said it's part of the budget process, but I don't have any new updated numbers as to what, you know, changes that will be until that,
so that number can change.
We have not.
Well, that's what I want to find out. If everywhere east of there to upgrade their system to handle us, they've done that, and that's in that number. That's not going to come back with a different bid now.
Depends on the bids, right?
Correct. So yeah. That hasn't all been bidded out yet east?
No. The first bid package was the one that we talked about.
Just 159.
Book Road.
It's Book Road. I don't know if it gets to 59 or not, but yeah.
Because we've signed a contract agreement to be in DWC.
With cost estimates. Yeah.
With cost estimates. We haven't signed agreements for construction.
Correct. So there's no guarantee of these bid prices. They're going to put out the next five bid packages, and they're going to say, we think that they are $40 or $50 million. And if the prices come in at $80 million, then we all have to make a decision as to whether we want to eat that or rebid it or do something else.
Okay.
So we get to do this five more times after this one, unless if we pull the plug sooner rather than later, and then you don't have to go through it, but then you have to figure out what to do with your entire water system.
I just didn't know where they were at with their numbers, if they take care of everything east to upgrade it, or if that's still all up in the air too then, the numbers.
Everything is up in the air from here to Naperville, except for the one big package run Book Road.
How about from Naperville into the city, into the lake?
Or connecting into it.
Because they have to beef up their pipe, right?
There's nothing east of the existing connection point. That's all being done through a different
project. I thought there was some larger pipes that had to be put in to...
I thought we ruled that option out of doing a new line.
Huh?
That was the other option, was a full 75-mile run, or... Is it 35 or 75? I got two numbers in my head now. It was a full line all the way from Lake Michigan.
So like a 35-mile run from the existing terminus to where it will land in Yorkville,
yeah,
basically.
Because we looked at one of the options was
a new line
all the way from the lake, and we said,
Right, and I thought that what we agreed to was to upgrade, pay them to upgrade so we could tap on to that for the free
connection. But anything beyond where we're doing the connection.
There's a connection fee with that's like $20 million or something like that, and that is our contribution to their system or whatever improvement.
That's what I'm trying to...
That number is in place.
And it's not changing.
As far as I know.
That goes to anything else that's on the system.
So, what expenses are divided equally up till we get to where?
Okay.
We're going to pick up a lot more as we get past Oswego and Montgomery to come out here, right? So we'll have a higher rate there.
Well, isn't everything use based? So we're not equally spread on anything. We actually have the higher percentage.
Why wouldn't you be equally spread from?
40.22% is our cost obligation for any shared expenditure within the DWC system. So pipelines and some related improvements near the transmission station, receiving stations, but we pay for the receiving stations ourselves. Oh, I think those are actually wrapped into the cost sharing too. Anything that's internal to our system, we have to do. Water towers we have to do ourselves.
Right, I understood that.
But
right.
Pipelines and related infrastructure, including, I think, the receiving stations, are a shared cost within that.
And that shared cost is 33.33333, or
we
have a higher rate?
40.22% of the entire project.
That's our use because of Montgomery's the smallest.
Distance and use.
I didn't know if that was factored after the word splits, is what I was curious about.
No, we questioned that during that because I remember, you know, it's like,
it
why is your
real hairy
and real quick?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I understand from where it splits to here is a different ballgame, but I was just wondering up to that point if it's. Just want to make sure I understand so I don't tell people wrong things.
Yeah, I think the general comment on the methodology that we agreed on that you can communicate to residents is that none of us are paying more than we would have paid if we would have done it ourselves, by far.
Well, yeah.
And all of us receive some benefit in sharing it because Oswego and Montgomery are actually slightly subsidizing like our overall project cost because we're the farthest away. So there was a negotiation on that. If we would have went to like distance considerations and like, you know, percentage of pipe, like we would have paid way more than
that.
Yeah,
I knew a distance further for us.
So
I just wasn't sure where that starts.
Yeah. And we're talking about like I think the different options we looked at was like a difference between like 39%, like 43 or 44%. So, you know, you're not.
So that number is 42% is what we're on.
40.22.
Okay. 40.22.
Yep.
And then so Oswego is what of that? And then Montgomery would be the rest, right? Or
they
Montgomery
were
a little bit
30 something, and then Montgomery was 20 something, if I remember correctly.
So with EEI, well, you know, not just EEI, but with the Public Works Director's EEI being involved with this more on the reviews, is that scope included, or are these going to be extras? All in, I know that would be very minimal, but are these extra costs that we're going to cap on that? Does that come through our general consulting, or is it specific to the consulting for water?
Brad has not approached me with an extra agreement yet, which makes me assume, and my initial guess would have been that it would be general consulting, but I'll ask and then verify.
I was going to say, because if it comes out of general consulting with the rate increases and everything else we got going on, we're getting fewer and fewer general consulting services, because I'm certain that paid water's taking a lot of time. So just, I can see us running into higher costs on the general consulting. And then I know in this chart it has the fiscal years to it. And in the budget, I know we spread these across the years, so we can see in the five-year budget that you put together, Rob, how this spreads. But have we taken a look just more of this? Is it something we can see of how these numbers, like the 114, the 8 million, where that really comes in over the next few years? Because some of these, if it's a one-year budget, you know, fiscal year, no big deal. It all gets absorbed in 1 year.
Sure.
But some of these that are a little bigger, some of these ride a few years. Where do they really fall in? How much of these?
No, that's a fair point, and I can just add a couple of columns and add 26, 27, 28 and put the contractual amounts based off the DWC cash flow. And yeah, that's not a problem to do that.
Yeah, because I wouldn't mind seeing kind of where our heavy years are, where we're looking, because when we just see $120 million, whatever, it's not all 1 year. It's
okay.
You skip over that column of fiscal year. We're spending a lot, but it's over a few years.
Yeah,
are we still on track on the 28 for connection? What are we looking at right now? Because I know this, the bid, you said this could push out the date.
Yeah, 27 is, end of 27 is still like the completion date.
Still targeted.
28 is when they'll commission it and turn it on. The reason being that they expect to finish construction in the winter. They will not turn on the pipeline until the summertime, because otherwise they will blow out most of the water systems with cold water, which is what they learned on one of the other projects that they did. So.
Okay. So there'll be a little time in between.
Yeah. So if the next two bid packages, which were supposed to go out September 5th, end up getting pushed, and I don't know this, but let's say it's like 3 or 4 months, there's a possibility that they could revise their schedule. They haven't communicated that to us yet. And I think the intent is still maybe to do like a one-month delay on those while we kind of figure everything else out. But a lot of it's up in the air right now.
Okay.
So this stuff is all for two towers, right, that we're building?
The tower and the standpipe?
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you, I'm sure you're hearing the same as I hear about a third one out toward the data center areas. That's not in this yet, and it's not planned for really yet, right?
Correct.
So
third or fourth
later.
Or fifth, depending on third or fourth or fifth, depending on how design engineering comes in. Any water towers that go in as a result of a data center will be paid for by data centers. So that will be a very easy price tag to get them.
Okay. That's like what we've done with the other water.
Yeah.
And
people want to get, that's where our PR is not the greatest, because you got a lot of people that don't know
that they are paying for it.
And they think, oh yeah, well, they think that we're, and that's getting added onto our cost, and that when they see their water bill go up there, I'm at, oh yeah, it's because they're building all these water towers for the data centers. I'm getting that one a lot, actually, so. And that's just people that don't understand, they haven't.
I mean, the water
at least
tower,
that day guy, he understands that.
The water tower freight farms is not being paid by them, that's being paid for by the city, because that one is part of our requirement of the system. But if it were to have come in, what, a year later and been proven that it was needed for the data center, they'd pay for it.
So going that direction, where is our pipelines going to stop out there?
Near the data centers?
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
We have to have an idea.
Well, that'll get designed.
Well, I mean, they've terminated our planning.
Well, we know on Cornelius Road, the subdivision errors got it. Does it stop there right now?
No, it comes
to Bright Farms. It goes west,
south, and west.
It goes all the way to Bright Farms right now.
Yeah, I mean Bright Farms.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no,
because Bright Farms put their own well in.
You're correct. Sorry.
spoke. They have a sewer. They have no water at this point.
So right now it's priced off at the subdivision area next to our public works facility, Caledonia, or whatever that is.
Yeah, I mean, there's a giant water loop being constructed for Cyrus One that, you know, goes in the region.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking for these northern pieces. We have not planned for any of that yet then, right?
Correct. Yeah, that'll be data center, water study. We'll have to pay for it, and then we will tell them where it goes and how much it costs.
I mean, I have a couple ideas, but I got to figure out if they're... I'll talk to you later about it.
Okay.
So with the... the whole bid package there for Book Road, you know, coming over budget, caught everyone kind of by surprise. It was still very early into it, but as Oswego or Montgomery indicated in any way that they're looking to switch course? Or,
no, they have not yet.
Have they met yet? Have they discussed it yet? Because I haven't heard anything about them.
We've been discussing it as a group. So, and it's been since last week, and I think the first meeting was between mayors, managers, public works directors. And then I think the second meeting was occurring today, or no, it's tomorrow. It's like a 4-hour meeting, so they're going to be reviewing plans, I'm assuming, and, you know, construction details. So.
Is that, are you in that?
I won't be there tomorrow for that.
Is John?
No. No, it'll be fairly detailed. I think it'll be who are the contractors, what is the design, do we want to cut off the pipe here, you know, those types of things. So.
Any other questions on the water?
Thank you, Rob.
Oh, no problem. You're welcome.
Only other thing I wanted to say on this entire report is the public works facility, all four walls are up. So if you drive by, you can get an idea of the bulk of the building. It's very large.
I did talk to Eric about doing a tour through there, so he and I'll be coordinating that prior to him getting too far along to kind of do a walk, take a look.
That'd be neat.
He wanted to make sure it was four walls because then it's a little more secure.
Yep.
But to open it up maybe if somebody else wants to do a, you know, two on there.
If the four walls are up, then what, the steel roof goes across the top next?
He'll be working on a few things, he said, at the same time.
So that still, will that be under roof by winter?
I believe that's the intent, yeah, because then they're going to do a lot of the interior work. So.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. I was shocked how fast he just did the maybe something with it.
Yeah, I mean, from every report from our staff, it seems like, you know, the architectural contractor are doing pretty quick, good work out there. So it seems like it's been going relatively smoothly so far.
I know in the construction manager interviews, like Wegman really wanted to stress being able to kind of seal it off for the winter so they could do work on it. Like, they're going to hit that milestone or so it appears.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So by, July of next year should be open?
I think their tentative date was August. And I've not heard any updates to that.
So there's been nothing that's really pulled us up on it.
No, we haven't had any major cost overruns, like the soil and the concrete issues. I mean, there were little things here and there I think we've been reporting on, but nothing that's been like, you know, God, here's, you know, an additional $700,000 or anything. And no tariffs yet, so.
Yeah. The tanks, they're not in now, are they?
I don't know.
I don't remember seeing them dig for the fuel tanks and stuff.
But isn't the fuel tanks above ground now?
I believe so, and I do know that the tank is a specialized subcontractor, so I'm assuming that they're doing it nose to tail, you know, themselves. I'll ask them.
That bid packages, I knew we were doing this incrementally too. We still have pieces that'll come a little further down the line, right?
The public works facility?
Yeah.
There will be small ones, I believe, related to maybe some of the tech networking.
Because I knew there were a few things, and then
potential wash bay or something,
and then potential alternatives.
Mm-hmm. We approved the bids with a few alternatives. And then there's like things that are not in the contract that I think you'll have to vote on. I want to say it's like networking, and I don't know if the AV equipment was an allowance or a bed package, but I'll check.
Okay. Yeah, I just follow up on those. Just
yep.
It's good to keep those in the back of the mind.
We approved all the exterior stuff, right?
You did?
Thought so.
That's what I thought. Me too, actually.
I don't want something sneaking up on me just for getting that.
I remember we talked about it, though, like phase, a couple different phases for a couple. I think the wash bay was a separate one, right? Originally, and then we said, no, put it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the lean-to on the side, the roof, and then there was...
how about a mechanics? There was some kind of mechanics
area.
I think we went with a bigger one, didn't we?
It is a little bigger.
Yeah, that was in the base package, though. Yeah, we expanded the mechanics room, basically.
And I think the two lifts, too, right?
Yeah.
There's a big heavy-duty lift and a small one, right, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like what Montgomery did.
Equipment procurement. That
but we didn't phase that. It wasn't a different... Right. So it's getting done.
The thing I think we didn't do was the gantry crane that Montgomery added on. That was the part that their mechanic was raving about. He loved it, but I don't think we did that.
Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head. I'll ask them.
Mm-hmm. It's going fast on the water pretty soon.
Yes.
Well, it helps when we're busy with a million other things, too. So it's like you lose sight of it for like a day and then you're like, oh, okay, all the walls are up.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
It's not a front and center project because you don't see it from any of the major roadways unless you're going into Caledonia.
I can see it from my
neighborhood. I'm sorry. Some of the close to the tracks there.
And I use Eldamain now and Ash Road. I go up that way. And so I go by there a lot.
I can't see it because your house is nowhere.
That's true. Let's come to my front yard.
All right, fine.
Can you really see it from your front yard?
Good
boy.
Yeah, his neighborhood is in my line of sight, so
yeah.
I can't see
the rest of it. All right. Well, we bring this meeting to a close then.
Additional?
Yeah, one thing additional.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. He already closed it.
We didn't
phone on it.
Next one.
Just I noticed I see an FBY today that another piece is coming in. There was an article.
Oh, the piece west of Cornelius for the data center.
Yeah, Meyer.
That's
yep. And just a heads up there, it is Green Door.
Yeah.
So they are going to come through and ask for rezoning, and I think it's fully annexed. But they're going to do what they did with Cyrus 1, where it's basically ask for blank rezoning. There's a small chance that they will have a site land use plan available to be sort of like approved at the same time, but they do not have a user that's ready to be public yet. I think they've got one that will probably wait in the wings, but their intent is to get it rezoned with basically a blank slate and then have the user come through with the land use plan afterwards. So
they had an SPY. It looks like we could be having the same thing that happened in Highlands over there, where the two big parcels and there's a little strip parcel right next to Caledonia, and that's the first thing that caught my attention. Like, oh, we're gonna be done with this again, unless
a similar shape and distance. Yep.
Yes. So, well, that piggybacks onto conversation I wanted to have. First, following up on that one, do you know if they're going to be doing a single use request or if they're going to ask for the limited list?
Single use request. Okay. Yeah.
And then utility rate discussion. So following up on what we got updated the last one, if we could, I wouldn't mind taking a dive into that.
Good.
So if we can get some information, what's it looking like for a few of the other data centers in the area that have been in place for 2, 3, 4 years so that they've actually stabilized rates?
Yep. I do have an update, and this is coming from external sources not related to the data centers. It's coming from ComEd, basically. The size of the power ask for Cardinal, at full build-out, their estimates, which I trust, are between $20 and $40 million annually for the project. A lot of that depends on, again, if they have 100% allocation. Let's say it's like a gigawatt or 2 gigawatts or whatever it ends up being. There's theory, or there's a chance that they would be granted for a gigawatt and then use like 750 megawatts. Mm-hmm. And so that gigawatt would represent like the ComEd full allocation type of a thing. So that was their best estimate as to what they would generate. And Cardinal has said that their public representation would be less than $10 million at this point, which I, you know, I'm happy to communicate. I don't think it's correct. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably a conservative estimate. What we've known from Cyrus One before it was Cyrus One, and then Cyrus One, and then what we've heard from DeKalb is, you know, like the Cyrus One project would be, you know, $4.5 to $9 million. So, you know, for Cardinal to be much larger, and granted, you can be spread out and still use the same power. I mean, it's not, you know, necessarily acreage related. You know, I would assume that it would be in that ballpark. And, you know, to the point of, you know, saying we weren't going to warrant the response and then, you know, communicating it anyway type of a thing. You know, again, we're not planning for that revenue. We're not putting it in the budget. We're not making, you know, plans to use it at this point. It's just
but to understand it would be good. And then to further that, I don't know if it's reaching out to our lobbyists or, you know, some of our reps or whatnot to find out in Springfield, have there been any kinds of conversations? Are they looking to backdoor find ways to offset their obligations on the utility rates by legislative changes or deals struck downstate?
There are things happening at the state level that I don't know that directly relate to that, because it's more ICC and ComEd regulatory issues. ComEd, though, there was an article, if I find it, I can forward it over to you. They have implemented a new deposit schedule for data centers. And so not only are they requiring data centers, obviously, to pay for their capital improvements, but they're actually asking them to put up letters of credit or bonds for 10 years of power usage. Such
roughly 25%?
I don't know the percentage. For each of our projects, it's in the hundreds of millions of dollar range that they would have to commit to, but it all depends on, you know, if you ask for a gigawatt of power, you know, in the first year you're getting 10 megawatts, and then it goes to 50, and so that can be pretty wide variance in the ramp up between projects. So, and but whatever they tell ComEd as part of their study, they're going to have to guarantee those payments for 10 years, such that if ComEd approves the capacity increases and all the capital projects associated with it, you know, everybody else shouldn't be at risk, basically, for the promises that were, are being made by data centers and then them not following through on it because, like, a bubble popping. So, you know, and this is all coming from ComEd and industry sources, so I'm not involved in the day-to-day of, like, how that works, but that's how it's being communicated to me, and that the data centers aren't particularly happy about having to put up hundreds of millions of dollars, potentially, in a letter of credit, but they've said that they can do it and, you know, are intending to move forward.
Right. And so with that surety, that is a huge commitment of actual cash with a letter of credit. So is that something we can request of applicants? You know, we know that they're involved in the cluster studies. I'd like to know, do you have the ability to put up the surety for the project?
That is a good question.
Because that,
yeah,
that,
we can
that
ask
puts you on the table of actually you have money to be able to do this and actually move it, or are you just shopping and...
Yeah, I'll ask for it right now. They've all verbally said that they don't have an issue with it.
Because,
so.
If they're actually able to put up the letter of credit, that's cash on hand. That is, if they're not willing to do that,
then you have risk of,
well, we're zoning. It's a new thing that ComEd is doing, and I am aware of that, so that's a big.
And just to be clear, that letter of credit is not coming to us,
right,
you know, for like revenue guarantees, it's
ComEd.
Purely to ComEd. It's a regulatory issue between ComEd and how they do their utility in expansions and the data centers who are asking for those expansions.
So relative to what we're just sitting there, okay, so this numbers you're getting, they're giving you total build-out numbers, right? That number is a total build-out number, right?
What is a total build-out
what
number?
What you just mentioned to us about, you heard from ComEd.
Utility taxes.
Like
yeah.
20 to 40 million? Correct, yeah.
So should we kind of look at that as, because like Cardinal is three phases, right? Going to be built in three phases. So it's not going to be
sure.
Total build out for 10, 20 years, probably. So
Cardinal, same 10 years, Steelers, yeah, same
right.
20 years.
Yeah. Okay. So should we kind of look at these things as per building the revenues, or should we look at it per phases when they come to us? Because that doesn't matter to me, because it could turn around and they could do one phase and, you know.
Are you asking me how we're going to budget for it? Or?
No, well, I'm just more trying to understand the financial, how that would play into it. Like, I hope that we wouldn't be planning for the full blowout, build out, you know, in our, as we look at it. I think you ought to know, okay, it's three phases. Phase three may never, you know, the last phase could never happen. And then you would, if you were planning, if you're keeping that in the back of your mind when you do other things, you know, you guys sort of kind of understand.
Well, the building is going to take 18 months to 2 years to
right.
go off.
Yep.
Prior to that, you're going to spend about a year with that building going through the
mm-hmm.
development process. So you've got anywhere from 24 to 30 months that you're spending on a building, give or take, from start to finish. So with what you're looking at, you know, when we're talking that 10 years, if they're doing one or two buildings a year,
right.
we'll know that, because we know from the time they apply for a building permit, you know, that's 2 years.
But we do know, like, okay, so they do phase one, like Cardinal, let's say, mm-hmm. just use that as an example. So we know that's a certain number of buildings that's planned in phase one, and then phase two, and then phase three after that. But it kind of tells us our shortest revenue time frame versus the full build-out time frame.
So I'll tell you what my knee-jerk reaction would be to how to budget for that now, based on what we've been doing, would be to budget for nothing until it comes in and we actually
see it. Well, I agree with that.
Okay. So, you know, but if you guys are like, no, it's going to happen and we need to be more aggressive with our budgeting because we want to spend money, you know, as it comes in or before it comes in, like, that's your prerogative.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, okay. I'm just trying to figure out where these things are good. And now the more and more of them that come in, you know,
I'm treating them budget-wise as none of them are happening until
yeah, okay.
somebody's up opening and I look at a utility bill revenue and go, oh, wow, that's a lot higher than it used to be. And then it's
but
like,
we should kind of know what that number is.
But it's the same thing with
yes.
Brake Farms. Brake mm-hmm. Farms had four buildings they
right.
were going to do with one head house. What are they at now?
Yeah.
One.
Right, correct.
So
exactly.
And they're fully into that thing. So they're only one of the four. So it's the same kind of thing. Until they're built,
we really won't know until Cyrus One probably comes on with their first one or two.
Right, so until it's actually built and functional, it's not budgeted.
But I was just, it's easy to bleed those and show you the full filled out number, and then you look at it and you're like, oh wow, this would be great someday, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years. But
that's the purpose of
yeah.
communicating it, it's just so that everybody understands the potential long-term financial impact. You know, and when we're complaining about property taxes in general, you know, over time or different costs of services. It's like, this is how communities like DeKalb, you know, whittle away at their property taxes and mm-hmm. reducing them by bringing in big things like this. So it's, you know, it's the fine line between like making sure that everybody understands that and then also not saying like, oh, well, we're going to be getting $80 million a year or $100 million
oh,
a year and then like, let's go, you know, I don't know.
No, I'm not, I just kind of wanted to get an idea of how that would factor in, because it could be by one phase and that could be it.
Worst case scenario. But. Yeah, I mean, for Steel, Cardinal, Meyer, Kalaka, all the ones that either haven't been approved yet or been approved but have no land use plan, I mean, my best guess is that the earliest construction is going to occur in like 2027 or 2028, and I don't think any buildings are going to open before like 2030, if I had to guess, just based on what I'm hearing from ComEd and some other things. So. Cyrus
right.
One obviously is the exception. I mean, they could be constructing now, and they're
right.
rethinking things and redesigning and, you know, trying to figure out their rollout plan. So so we'll see there. And so I don't know if that means that they're going to come into us next week and say we want to go vertical, or if it's going to be next year or whatever it is. But to your question, to your point, we haven't planned for any of that budget-wise. So.
Good on that discussion?
Yeah. Is there any additional business?
The only one.
Last chance. You close
this.
No.
Bart, this will be a little touchy. It's the controversial one. Camping ordinance.
Yeah.
Camping ordinance.
Sure.
I know you sent an update that is going to go to, am I correct, it's intended to go directly to council? after we get updates and you've seen some red lines, what is the plan process as you see it?
Yeah. I think the intent was is that it's already so into the public realm, you know, that it could probably warrant a committee type discussion to take it back to city council. If you guys are like, it needs to go to committee, that's fine. I just identified that September 9th city council meeting as the first meeting after next week, which is not going to happen. So that's just, we looked at it, we're like, could we throw something together presentation-wise by Tuesday? Probably, you know, if there's a bunch of people here giving citizen comments, I'm sure that there will be some talking points and stuff that we can address and, you know, answer some questions. But we still haven't seen, you know, written comments from the protest group. And then obviously we'd have to take those to Kathy and Jim and make sure that they're, you know, reflective of what we want to do.
All right. So. I'm not inclined to rush it up to council. If it comes to a committee, I am not opposed to that. To see the comments that are there, and you know, this was rushed initially, so I don't want to continue that process. So if it does come back, if the next meeting is conducive,
I think our PR wasn't that good there either.
Yeah, so if it's conducive to come back here prior to a council meeting, I'm not opposed to that.
Okay. How about we do this then? When I get the comments in, we've reviewed them, you know, put them through an initial staff review process. You know, I would assume I'd send you an update email and just say, like, here are the comments, we agree with this, we disagree with this one is okay, and then you guys can tell us, you know, whether you want it on a committee, which any of you can do, obviously, individually, or put it on city council directly, which is either the mayor's prerogative or four of you, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because committee-wise, it'd be an extra week if it came versus going to the city council.
Yep.
And then knowing that following that right after that.
Yep. On the PR angle too, Garrett and I, and Jim is out today, we're working on like a Facebook post, press release type of a thing, just addressing some of the concerns and stuff. John is reviewing it, and so maybe tomorrow type of thing. Jim should be back on Friday. So it might not occur until Friday. I suppose in a scenario it could be next week, but I would anticipate that there will be not only, you know, kind of a public update for everybody on what's been done and addressing some of the points, but then also the intent is definitely to do just like a recitation of facts, you know, at a future meeting so that everybody understands what's been done, what we're doing, you know, and so that there's not any confusion at least about those things. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anything else? Any other business? I'm not gonna have anything. All right. So I think we can adjourn.
One.
Thank you.
We'll let you adjourn. Thanks.